Welcome to the Hidden Histories Podcast, a podcast dedicated to exploring the history hidden under our noses. Please join our guide as we discover the forgotten around us.
Every October, the border between the now and the hereafter blurs. Ghosts and goblins wander the world. Devils creep about in broad daylight. Ghoulish faces and gourd-like creatures peer from behind porches and doorsteps. And Stingy Jack and the Headless Horseman wander the mortal plane again. Hello, and welcome to my favorite type of Hidden Histories episode, a Halloween episode. And this isn't just a Halloween episode or a Hidden Histories episode, but it's a podcast about the history hidden in our towns and cities and culture. For those who are just discovering the podcast, you've come to us at my favorite time of year. I didn't always have the interest I have in history, but Halloween and October have always been my favorite. And thanks to those close friends in college who showed me the adventure of discovering the history of the places we live and the culture we experience every day that is hidden in plain sight, I am now able to truly experience the history and culture of my favorite holiday, Halloween. We think we know the places we live. But do we really? Do we really know the culture and the stories we tell every Halloween? As a matter of fact, I'm coming to discover I do not. As much as I love this holiday, and is one of the few holidays that has really kept its luster for me as an adult, I'm finding the traditions I love to follow, I don't really know why I follow them, or what they even mean. I love carving pumpkins. Yes, it's messy. Depending upon how you light the pumpkin inside, it could even be dangerous. But the creativity and the planning and the carving, and I personally save the seeds to grow new pumpkins next year, cooking the pumpkin seeds for my wife and kids, it's a tradition that I truly love. But as I sat back and pondered what I was going to do for Hidden Histories October and holiday seasons, I realized I don't really know why we carve pumpkins. So I started to look into it. I can't wait to share this with you. We carve pumpkins because of the legend of Stingy Jack. Let me tell you the story. People have been making jack-o'-lanterns at Halloween for centuries. This is a practice that originated in Ireland, along with the concept of Halloween to begin with. And it is an Irish myth about a man who was nicknamed Stingy Jack. According to legend, Stingy Jack was a miserable old drunk who loved playing tricks on anyone and everyone. No one was out of his target reticle. One dark Halloween night, So it is told, Jack ran into the devil himself in a local public house. Jack tricked the devil by offering his soul in exchange for one last drink. The devil quickly turned himself into a sixpence to pay the bartender for that drink. But Jack immediately snatched the coin and stuck it in his pocket next to a silver cross that he was carrying. The devil could not change himself back, and Jack refused to allow the devil to go free until the devil had promised not to claim Jack's soul for 10 years. Begrudgingly, the devil agreed. And 10 years later, Jack again came across the devil while he was out walking on a country road. The devil tried collecting what he was due, but Jack, quickly thinking, said, I'll go, but before I do, will you get me an apple from that tree? The devil, thinking he had nothing to lose, jumped up into the tree to retrieve an apple. As soon as he did, Jack placed crosses all around the trunk of the tree, thus trapping the devil once again. This time, Jack made the devil promise that he would not take his soul when he finally died. Seeing no way out of his predicament, the devil grudgingly agreed. When Stingy Jack eventually passed away, as all men do, several years later, he went to the gates of heaven, but was refused entrance because of his life of drinking and misery, and because he had been so tight-fisted and deceitful to his fellow man. So Jack went down to hell to see the devil and find out whether it were possible to gain entrance into the depths of hell. But the devil kept the promise that had been made to Jack years earlier and would not let him enter. But where can I go? Asked Jack. Back to where you came from, replied the devil. The way back was windy and very dark. Stingy Jack pleaded with the devil to at least provide him with a light to help him find his way. The devil, as a final gesture, tossed Jack an ember straight from the fissures of hell. Jack placed the ember in a hollowed out turnip, one of Jack's favorite foods, which he had always carried around with him whenever he could steal one. From that day forward, Stingy Jack has been doomed to roam the earth without a resting place, and with only his lit turnip to light his way in the darkness. Eventually, this legend led toward the Irish referring to Jack as not Stingy Jack, but Jack of the Lantern. And as time goes on, everything shortens, as we all have experienced. And now he is simply known as Jack O'Lantern. And Ireland and Scotland people began to make their own versions of jack-o'-lanterns by carving scary faces into turnips or potatoes, which I can't imagine trying to carve anything into a potato. And they would place them in their windows or near their doorsteps to frighten away Stingy Jack and other evil souls and spirits. As the tradition spread to England, large beets were used, and immigrants from all three of these countries, when they came to America, they brought their tradition of the jack-o'-lantern with them. And they soon found that the native fruit, the pumpkin, would make the perfect jack-o'-lantern to keep away Stingy Jack. So remember, when you carve your pumpkin this month, make sure it's scary enough to keep Jack out of your house. Now, a wandering, restless soul is one of the many things that come out around Halloween, whether it be legend and folklore or myth or stories around the campfire or perhaps a true experience. But it is not, Stingy Jack is not the scariest thing to come out of Halloween, by far. Personally, the scariest thing that always frightened me as a child was the legend of the Headless Horseman. But with all things, these legends didn't start in America. Yes, we have our own versions, and things differ from country to country, but the origin of the Headless Horseman has, well, different communities, you could say, that really help build this up. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a culture to raise a legend. The legend of the Headless Horseman and Sleepy Hollow is one of the traditional tales told in Western European communities as far back as oral history goes. The most common Headless Horseman tales come from the Netherlands, actually, and are believed to be the likely remains of pagan religions that were driven out by Christian missionaries sometime during the 6th century. But the histories of the Headless Horseman can be traced back to this time period and the transition to Christianity. The traditional tales that we as Americans are most aware of are the stories told by a young Washington Irving. The Headless Horseman in this story was a Hessian soldier that waited by graveyards to claim the heads of unsuspecting travelers. It's probably one of the farthest things from the oldest version of the story, but the black-clad rider was known in many other cultures, such as the native Dutch territories, as the Dullahan or Gensian. This horseman was always seen riding a black horse and carried his head under his right arm, or he held it aloft in his right hand. I suppose it depends upon who he is threatening. In some stories, the horse is also headless, depending upon which version you're looking at. But in most cases, the horse does have its head, and it breathes fire and leaves tracks of fire upon the ground as it gallops past. See, the head of the Headless Horseman was grossly disfigured, that was said to stretch from one ear to the other, and it had huge darting eyes, which from this Dutch version, I can really see how the head of the Headless Horseman has really transformed itself into the jack-o'-lantern that we know it today, specifically from the Disney rendition of the story of Ichabod Crane. And even in some other stories, the head glows like the jack-o'-lantern and is used to light the way for the horseman as he travels through the countryside. The earliest versions of the Headless Horseman story come from the 6th century that I had mentioned before, and it was just after Christian missionaries forbade the worship of Crom Duba. Crom was a Celtic god of fertility who demanded human sacrifice every year. And the preferred method of this sacrifice was through beheading. With this god being forbidden from the traditions of the local people, they quickly took the story and adapted it into a spiritual being, not a god, but a spiritual being who still craved corpses. As time has gone on, the story has slowly grown, and it has eliminated all reference to the ancient deity Crom. Instead, this horseman now is referred to as the Dark Man, and eventually, Dullahan. In most of the traditional Celtic stories, a banshee is accompanied by or accompanies the Dullahan. They ride on a coach together, and wherever this coach will stop, someone will die. The Dullahan will call out the name and take the soul of that person away. If perchance you are unlucky enough to witness the Dullahan culling a soul, he may choose to whip out your eyes with his whip, or toss a basin of blood on your unsuspecting self, and this will be an omen unto you that your time is short. An example of this type of Dullahan, or the Dark Man, is even seen in the Disney movie Darby O'Gill and the Little People. It's a very, very real representation of it. How does the Dullahan get to Sleepy Hollow, though? Seems quite different. Well, the horseman in Sleepy Hollow stories is a Russian soldier, is almost like a mercenary that was hired by the British. The traditional story of the Dullahan is much more related to what we consider nowadays as the Grim Reaper. He's often a skeletal figure, and he carries a whip. This whip is made of human spinal bones. And instead of being a vengeful spirit like our Sleepy Hollow headless horseman, the Dullahan is more of a messenger or harbinger of death. It's often seen driving a black coach headed by six black horses. This coach is made from human skeletal remains, including a human skull headlamp and wheel spokes that are the human thigh bones. Truly a frightening depiction. Washington Irving's story, The Headless Horseman from Sleepy Hollow, can't cross water, or so Ichabod Crane is led to believe. And this is a change from the original traditional version. And it's attributed to the merging of a culture as it spreads through a time of true belief in witches and warlocks and the attempt to chase them down. Another change that we see between the original version and Ichabod Crane is that there's no mention of a severed head of the Dullahan. The only mention, actually, that there is a severed head is the shattered remains of a jack-o'-lantern beside the hat of Ichabod. Although some scholars will argue that this is only a plot device to allude to Bronn Bones as the mastermind behind the hoax, trying to drive Ichabod, his love interest rival, out of town. I haven't seen the modern day Sleepy Hollow versions, the TV series, or even the movie. It's not the version of the Headless Horseman that I'd like to remember. I like the version that, surprisingly enough, Walt Disney spun for me as a child with the adventures of Mr. Toad and Ichabod Crane. To be honest, that story truly terrified me as a child. It's something about the depiction of the Headless Horseman and his relentlessness that really stuck with me. And I'm so glad I got to dive into the history of this and share it with you during my favorite season. Thanks for allowing me to guide you on this small adventure today. Personally, I love having the chance to learn a small bit of history here and there, especially if it's from our own backyards and cultures. If you enjoyed this episode of Hidden Histories, please head on over to where you listen to us and give the show a rating and review. It makes the difference in reaching new listeners. Our website is hiddenhistories.weebly.com. And if you would like to send an email with comments of hidden histories of your own, please send it to hiddenhistories@outlook.com or send us a post on Facebook at Hidden History or our new Twitter account. Love Hidden Histories but don't have time to type? Try our voice message feature from the Anchor mobile app. Messages are private, but if you would like, they can also be part of future episodes. Please join me again as we discover more hidden histories in our next episode. I'm your guide, Tim Hoshi, and thanks for listening.